This is the Quality News Network. Amidst police batons and pepper spray, New Orleans City Council members unanimously approved a controversial plan to tear down 4,500 public housing units damaged by Hurricane Katrina. A crowd of demonstrators tried to get into today's meeting inside New Orleans City Hall, but were kept out by local police using pepper spray and stun guns. Several legal challenges to the proposal have not been resolved. A CNN poll released today shows the top three Democratic presidential candidates in a dead heat in Iowa just 2 weeks before the caucuses. Leading the Republican slate is former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, followed by former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani is in third place. Congressman Tom Tancredo has dropped out of the race for the Republican presidential nomination and thrown his support to rival Mitt Romney. Doctors treating Rudy Giuliani have given him the all-clear to return to New York after he spent the night in a St. Louis hospital. Giuliani was hospitalized late last night with flu-like symptoms. A year-long battle over the federal budget has come to an end. President Bush both admonished and praised Congress for passing a $556 billion spending plan. Mr. Bush complained this morning that lawmakers had wasted time and taxpayers' money, scolding Congress for stuffing 9,800 special interest projects into the budget plan, which also includes an extra $70 billion for the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. The U.S. military has announced last week's discovery of a torture complex once used by Iraqi insurgents in the Diyala province. The remains of 26 people were found nearby. The torture chamber had chains on blood-spattered walls and ceilings and an iron bed hooked up to an electrical supply. The discovery was made near the town of Muqtadiyah during an Allied military sweep of that area. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger plans to sue the federal government over its decision not to allow the state's current plan to reduce greenhouse gases. President Bush just signed a new car emission bill yesterday, but Governor Schwarzenegger says he wants better for California. And a 6.8 earthquake has struck offshore in northeastern New Zealand. No deaths reported in connection with that shaker. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
Electronic gadgets are topping this year's holiday gift buying season. Included on the list are notebook computers, digital cameras, and digital picture frames. Retailers say sales of those items are up 500% from last year. In Great Britain, talking on a handheld cell phone while driving has been made an offense punishable by up to 2 years in prison. The Commerce Department reports that gross U.S. domestic product grew at 4.9% pace last quarter. They say that performance is especially impressive given the current state of the country's housing market. The U.S. economy surged over the summer at its fastest pace in 4 years, but then lagged in the last 3 months of this year. But a new rise in jobless claims indicates that the labor market is softening. For the first time in its 80-year history, investment bank Bear Stearns posted a quarterly loss at $854 million, blaming the subprime mortgage crisis for that. In St. Louis, Yahoo, Google, and Microsoft all agreeing to pay a combined fine of $31.5 million to settle federal accusations the Internet companies accepted advertising for illegal gambling. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow up 38 points, NASDAQ up nearly 40 points, the S&P 500 up 7 points. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Ask any musician. The best music happens when the sheet music gets put aside and the gang just sits down and jams. Same thing here on The Horn. America's best liberal talk hosts free-forming together for an hour a night. Welcome to The Horn Section. Right here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. Now let's crank up the jam. Here's Bob Kincaid.
I don't know if we can top last night's horn section, but we will darn sure try. Welcome along. Glad you're with us. After, what is this, week number three or four maybe now of the horn section, you get an idea of what we're going at here. Just free-form fun babble among hosts, just like John says in the intro. Whatever, you know, it's almost like speaking in tongues. Whatever happens to strike us and move us, we could wind up going just about anywhere. On the line with me, of course, Peter Godbold, after another rousing success of a strictly confidential program. Peter, that last story from Susan just kind of wrecked my little skull.
Yeah, she had a lot of nerve calling that in it. You know, 2 minutes till 11 o'clock.
Willard Romney's daddy marched with Dr. King. I had no idea Jesse Jackson was Willard Romney's daddy. Gets around, I guess.
I was floored by that. It's also disingenuous. It ranked right in there with the Mitt Romney crying when the black folks were allowed into
apparently he's a tearful guy. Because, you know, I had
a
story...
part of that religious fake stuff. You've heard them in the pulpits, Bob, where they get this voice, but you can tell it's total fake, but they believe that it sounds cool.
Yeah, oh yeah. And, well, he was... He got all misty and tearful talking about the dead coming home from Iraq. And he said something like, "I was crying, and it was someone else's son, and it made me think about my sons, who aren't going." Yeah, no, the "who aren't going" part wasn't in it.
Yeah, my sons who are demented and torture animals.
No, that's Huxterby's son.
Oh, they all run together.
Yeah, well, they really do, because it was Romney's sons that he told some interviewer a couple of months ago that they were serving their country by driving a Winnebago around Iowa for him instead of being in the military.
I see. Well, you know, whatever blows your skirt up, Winnebago.
That beautiful RV living. But now, I was intrigued, Peter. I was intrigued with the... story about the Native Americans that you had going.
What I did was I did a copy paste out of part of it regarding the little section I did about what they call the gay Lakota men, as I said, it's Wendkite, and it's a combination of women and would like to be, but apparently, you know, they thought it brought good luck to the child for a Wendkite to name the child, and they were fully accepted, and they did crafts and the tanning, and some of them were more masculine. They traveled into the war, and, you know, and some were boy. I mean, it was like, just, you know, I mean, people, why not use them? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, exactly. And, well, it reminded me of something. And John is on board with us. Welcome back, John.
Howdy. Hello. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good. Peter, it reminded me of one of my favorite films, Little Big Man, early Dustin Hoffman film.
I remember that. Yes, they hung him up by those hooks. It was hard to take.
That was Richard Harris.
Oh, that was a.
They're all running together, aren't they?
Oh, honey, at this age, at this time of night.
But
life's been one big movie.
No, in Little Big Man, there was one of these characters you were talking about.
Oh, that's right. I remember, and he made an advance to Hoffman saying that he would be his partner, but Hoffman gently said, well, no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right here.
You look tired, Little Big Man. Do you want to come into my teepee and rest on soft furs? Why don't you live with me and I'll be your wife? Well, got to fix my hair to sing tonight.
And there are examples, there are cultural examples all over the world of people who treat their non-typically gendered individuals with not only decency, but with a great deal of respect. There's a great little description here of exactly the sort of person you were talking about within that tribal life.
It was Little Horse, the boy who didn't want to fight the pony.
Don't you remember me? This hurts me in my heart. I think I'll cry.
He'd become a himane, for which there ain't no English word. And he was a good un, too. Human beings thought a lot of him. But human beings don't require a boy to be a warrior if he ain't got the temperament for it. And Little Horse didn't. If he wanted to stay behind with the women, that was all right with the human beings.
I love that movie because it refers to the tribe as they referred to themselves as the human beings.
Bob, this is that's uncanny because this that's almost word for word what this research article is going into, that there was no assumption that if people about men didn't want to go to war, it's just that some men had the nature and others didn't, but the ones that didn't have the nature weren't necessarily the Wincites, the gay people. They're just some men that just like us, they're just some men that don't, but some of them of course were Wincites, but some weren't, and it was they kind of got it.
Well, there's an island culture, a South Pacific island culture, where men choose to adopt feminine roles, and they are treasured within that society. The women especially love them because they've got somebody around the house to do the heavy lifting, because even though they've adopted a feminine role, they have masculine body strength.
Yeah, it's a huge advantage.
It's so easy for us to cope with our basic human natures, regardless of who or how we are, if the rest of the culture will, rather than hating people, why not cherish them for the value that they bring to a culture?
One wonders if it's because of the size of the culture, because there was a 100 people in the whole group, maybe, and they moved from, you know, these people all had a chance to know each other, like, as opposed to the way we are today, we're all isolated, we don't talk to our neighbors, it's whatever the media tells us, that's the truth.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that. John, I'm beginning a new book that I'm all excited about, and I think it's going to wind up being one I have to recommend for you.
Yeah.
It's the follow-up to Jared Diamond's Guns, Germs, and Steel. It's called Collapse.
It sounds cheery.
There's a big chapter on Australia.
Ah, right.
And apparently he focuses a lot of attention on forestation issues. I literally have not begun it yet, but that seems to be significant. And I'm real simple. I always check out the pictures in the middle.
Yeah.
And there's pictures of rabbits, basically, at a water hole, and he comments on their impact on the deforestation of Australia.
Massive.
And then there's an overhead, you know, aerial shot of a huge sheep herd, and he talks about what sheep have done to the grasslands and the forest areas that did manage to exist in Australia.
Well, yeah, and there was this really bizarre thing out of the APEC summit thing that went on down here, was Australia signed a deal where they would pay to keep, I believe in Indonesia, an area of forest from being cleared, which is fine, you know, okay, good, but you're clear felling old growth forests back in your own country. and it was something that was paraded as, you know, this great feat for, you know, the environment that, you know, we're going to stop, you know, which is a major problem, which is, you know, this just clear felling of rainforest that goes on throughout certain areas of Asia. But, yeah, Australia is just kind of killing off, like, its old-growth forest at an alarming rate, and it never gets talked about.
And it's interesting. I've got a table here that was actually bought in down in Alabama at a little chain store called Wood U, W-O-O-D-U.
Yeah.
And it's hardwood, and it's solid. You know, this is no cheap soft pine or anything. This is solid hardwood. And sticker underneath it, made in Malaysia. So, you know, we're more than happy to deforest third world countries. And I think part of Mr. Diamond's thesis is that deforestation of so-called third world areas is what directly contributes to their ultimate poverty and the collapse of their society and their civilization.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Because, you know, in just time after time, you know, an indigenous people will have, you know, the wildlife in which they used to hunt be scared off by development and, you know, the lumber companies. And then they end up having the only thing that they can do so that they can buy now imported food because they can't hunt and gather the way that they used to. They get forced to work for the very operation that destroyed their way of life. And it happens all the time.
Well, the direct correlation that he seems to point out between that and utter abject poverty is, I can't wait to get into this thing. I just can't. Meanwhile, backing up for just a second, Peter, you didn't have the other half of this Native American story, did you? About what the look...
No, sir. I only had the preamble introduction to it, which I quickly scanned before the show so that I could bring up the fact they were leaving the country, and then the clip from this very interesting article on two-spirited Indians, which is what they call it. And no, I don't know the rest of the...
I love this idea of them seceding. I think they've got an absolute right to. But some of the statistics in the bottom of this thing are horrifying, bearing in mind, of course, that we have a higher infant mortality rate than Cuba. We have a higher maternal mortality rate than Cuba. Check this out. In the Lakota reservations, teen suicides are 150% above the norm for the United States.
Oh, Christ. That means devastating poverty and alcohol and no hope, right?
Right. Infant mortality, 5 times higher than the U.S. average. Unemployment that's almost uncalculatable. And then the most bizarre one, the lifespan for a Lakota male, less than 44 years.
Jeez. It's like the Aboriginals down here.
Well, that's what I was about to say.
What state are they in? Is it like totally desolate? And
well, it's South Dakota for the most part. But that's the fun part. The treaty boundaries,
yes,
encompass. Let's see here. I got to get parts of Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, and Wyoming. I mean, if they press this could get ugly.
Well, yeah, every treaty has it's common knowledge amongst people who you know, the regular folks don't know this, but they've been everybody just wants, I mean, in the mainstream wants them to just go away. Like they want the black folks to go. They want everything to go away that isn't white and rich.
And see, it's that "and rich" part that has impact for the likes of us. Because,
yeah,
you know, I don't know the Lodge High sign for that part.
Either. They never bothered to tell.
But, you know, this is... I wish them well. Bless their hearts. You know where they began this? They began with visits to the Bolivian embassy, the Venezuelan embassy, the Chilean embassy, the South African embassies.
Wow.
Because those are countries that are that have actually been returned to the control of their native peoples. Whatever you want to say about Hugo Chavez, Hugo Chavez is a native Venezuelan person.
Now it makes sense.
I can't remember his name right now, but the leader of Bolivia, same thing. South Africa got turned back over to the real South Africans. And you know, so that, you know, there's a growing, and is it present in Australia at all, John? Is there a nativist independent, any kind of a nativist movement?
Good question.
You know, there's, the Aboriginals are so marginalized in a way that there isn't any particular movement. However, to varying degrees of efficiency, there's works between the Aboriginal tribal councils and the federal and state governments. And with the changes we've just had, we're hoping that there's going to be a bit more humane approach, and, you know, some better work in those areas. But you don't really see them as being a force taking to the streets anymore. They're too far away from the cities. They're too dealing with day-to-day and too impoverished to get out and hit the streets.
Well, it looks like, you know, when you consider the statistics, and I'm sure the statistics are somewhat similar for the Aboriginal peoples in Australia, John. It's a continuing genocide.
Oh yeah. It's the most subtle kind of genocide. And I mean that's how there was a report that came out a year, maybe two ago, about the life expectancy of Aboriginal males, and it was like half of the rest of the Australian population. I mean, it was, you know, human rights groups were just kind of, you know, up in arms, you know, saying, you know, what have we been telling you? You know, it's horrible at the moment. And, you know, Howard's way was going in with a very military kind of, you know, lockdown of the, you know, areas in the Northern Territory, which, you know, there might have been some need for some of that with what was going on at the time, but it was all camera fodder for the white folks back in the cities. It wasn't anything of substance. So, you know, I mean, we're gonna see if that takes any kind of different direction now that, you know, we have a different government.
And hey, this is a particularly going to be a particularly fun little evening. Adding to it, let's see, we've got trumpet, trombone, clarinet. Adding to the horn section on sax.
I like the saxophone.
I knew you would. Mark Levine.
Mark.
Hello.
G'day, Mark.
Good to hear
g'day,
from you.
G'day.
Welcome to the party.
Well, thank you. I, you know, I'm a little hungover. I just came back from a holiday party myself, so I figured it's a good time to join the horn section.
Already you're hungover? Usually I have to have a couple of hours of sleep before it kicks in.
Okay, tipsy maybe be the right word.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you run straight past loaded into hungover. I mean, man, the guilt got in deep, didn't it?
I do my show after drinking, so this is a new experience for me.
Well, Mark, was it everybody who is anybody was there? Was it like Z people? What was up?
Well, this wasn't like that party's tomorrow.
Oh.
No, my gay holiday party's tomorrow. Now, today was actually almost a business holiday party. It was the labor unions who I'm trying to get, frankly, to help sponsor us here at the Horn and help sponsor the Inside Scoop. And so, but they're you know, they're good people, and they've helped us in the past. So hopefully we can. It was almost like a business holiday party, which is not near as fun.
Yeah, well, call it a working party.
Right, but I still, you know, had a few beers, so, you know.
Good for you.
Yeah, really.
You're in.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go on. I don't usually make a comment. Totally
No. That's what this is about. Freeform. Let it go where it goes, man.
Well, I heard something about Aboriginal peoples, but I don't like to intervene until I at least have some idea what we're talking about.
Well, you're the in-house lawyer. We're kind of fascinated with this declaration by the Lakota. that they are withdrawing from their treaties with the United States.
You're kidding. Interesting. Now, I did not know that.
Well, it just broke this evening.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
probably.
I missed that.
It probably broke around Amstel Light number 2.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be tough for them to do that. You know, those treaties were very favorable toward the white man and very unfavorable to the Native American and were generally forced down their throats after several, you know, terrible battles. And I just don't think our government's going to want to change our minds on that one.
No, but the Lakota are pleading a sort of pre-existing breach on multiple occasions.
Well, I'm sure we breached on more than multiple occasions.
They have repeatedly violated in order to steal our culture, our land, and our ability to maintain our way of life.
Yeah. True. Guilty.
It's interesting.
Maybe if we gave
them,
you know, a dollar. What do you think? Think they'd take that?
Glass beads?
$24, yeah. We got Manhattan with that, right?
I think they figured that ruse out, Mark.
Ooh, damn.
Well, it's interesting to note that they're not asking to leave, they're not petitioning to leave, they're not saying they're going to leave. They are saying we're gone.
Yeah, we no longer are. Yeah, and
they're
the other interesting
part of the United States.
Yeah, and they're also saying anyone is welcome to come and live in the Lakota Nation who is willing to renounce their American citizenship.
I see a lot of people who want to have a nice little tax haven. Is there a casino there? That's the most important thing.
Actually, I think there are.
Cool.
Really?
Now, is this on their official reservation?
No, they're not just claiming the res. They're claiming the treaty lands.
So that would be, let's see, most of the Western Plains states?
That would be North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Nebraska, and Montana.
Well, those states don't matter much. Excuse me, I really have been drinking, haven't I?
There's hardly anybody there anyway.
Well, I love the Wyoming part because that means that somebody there can write a letter to 5 Deferment Dick saying, "Don't come home."
Hey, heck, we got more people in the District of Columbia than they've got in Wyoming, and we're not a state, so why should they be a state? It's only fair. I mean, I'm just being reasonable here. Look, we haven't had a state for 200 years. We'll take the 2 senators and their congressmen, and Wyoming, they could go to Lakota. That's my deal. That sounds fair to me.
Well, but then again, they're inviting, you know, the people who want to be free and sovereign in D.C., move to the Lakota lands, renounce American citizenship, and help build a new nation.
Well, let's see. Are there good gay bars in Cheyenne? Because, you know, I don't know.
Well, that's the other part that
Shepard didn't have a good time there.
No, but that's the other part that Peter covered.
I missed that part.
I could handle the music part. We'd need the bartenders and the dance floor in the building, but
the Lakota, sure the Lakota are ultra tolerant.
You know, I like cowboys. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, but they're not. It's strictly
a different show in the horn section, John, than my regular show. I don't know if you've noticed that.
No. I was there. It's all good.
I did all my serious stuff earlier this evening. I'm not in the mood for serious now. So.
No. I understand completely.
Okay. If we want to make it less complicated than that, I gotta ask you guys, what is the deal with the red sweater vest ad thing with the Republicans? In another episode of...
Well, I know no self-respecting gay man would wear them.
I mean, in another episode...
That's a straight thing, Peter. Ask the other guys.
This makes the news down here, and I go and watch the clips, and in another episode of how much of a joke and a weird media kind of farce the American electoral system is. And then Giuliani, you know, the next thing I'm expecting is Kermit the Frog to come out going, "Hi ho," you know.
Hi ho, Kermit
the
Frog,
vest.
Candidate for president.
Yes.
That was pretty good, actually.
Thank you. red is the effect. And go figure how the hardcore anti-communist Republicans wound up with this. But, you know, red is the official color. That's their color.
And I loved in Huckabee's ad, you know, as it does that final kind of pan and static shot of him, you know, it's the superimposed red crucifix over his right shoulder. you know.
Well, I missed and that. I noticed the white cross, the pan, to the Christmas tree.
Cool. It's just.
Hey,
it's
all hail your fearless new, you know, pope, or whatever you call him.
And then Giuliani has to try and one-up it and comes out with Santa Claus and looking like a complete and utter just twit.
Well, we're a joke. We are a national joke, and it doesn't get any easier. For your delectation, I have something here for you. To wit, oh, let me find him. Hang on. Dear leader, you know, had a press conference today. And
Yes, he did. You mean Cheney? Oh, no. The guy that claimed Cheney's boy. He had the conference.
And the question was put to him about this thing that Senator Clinton said that she would send Bush 41 and her hubby around the world to rebuild American goodwill.
Sorry, I can't hold that in.
That's okay. I know a Dr. Pepper snort the minute I hear one.
Yeah, we all had a short here.
So he gets this question put to him, and it is what it is. Here's the answer.
Mr. President, you maybe saw that President Clinton said recently that one of the first actions of a new Clinton administration would be to send Presidents 41 and 42 on a worldwide goodwill mission to restore the country's good name abroad. Yeah. I wonder if you think such a thing is necessary.
Well, 41 didn't think it's necessary.
Right, it doesn't seem to have that.
Exactly. It's going to be a one-man trip. Yeah, Michael's going to try.
Wait. That was not me doing George Bush's laugh.
No, that was him.
Oh, no?
Let's see if we can back this up.
I thought that was you, Bob.
That
was the real thing, huh?
Let's back this up here. Listen, I mean, you felt bad about snorting, Peter?
Yeah, kind of. I muted my mic right after I did it.
check this out. I mean, here we go again.
A good name abroad. Yeah. I wonder if you think such a thing is necessary.
Well, 41 didn't think it's necessary.
Right, it doesn't seem to have that.
Exactly. It's going to be a one-man trip. Yeah, Michael's going to try.
I wonder if you would consider doing such a thing during your presidency, and do you think that you might...
Well, I do during my presidency. I go around spreading goodwill, talking about the importance of spreading freedom and peace. Go ahead.
Well, that was
lying jacket.
That's what I do during my presidency.
Consider anything.
I spread goodwill.
And peace, yes. Those are the two things people are going to remember George Bush for.
Bread and goodwill and peace.
And peace.
And it was the laugh of a buffoon. Buffoon is the only word that I think really encompasses it.
Yeah, freedom and peace. That's right. That's right. Not torture and war. No. Freedom and peace. Oh, okay. Right.
I mean, he sounds like tickle. He sounds like Tickle Me Elmo after his voice has changed.
We could do 2 hours in the heat bit. I just know we could.
Oh, God. You know, this guy's running the world. So, you know, there he is spreading goodwill. And, of course, Vladimir Putin has won, so to speak, Times Person of the Year. Apparently, you remember when George came back and said he'd looked into Vladimir's eyes and seen his soul, and that they were soulmates.
I remember that.
Yeah, I don't think they're an item anymore, guys.
Oh no, they broke up.
You reckon?
Yeah, got a little speech here today from Vlad. I believe this is a single-minded attempt to create a certain image of Russia which allows Washington to influence our internal and external policy. Russia hasn't only said but also repeatedly demonstrated by its entire policy in the last 15 years that we do not only want to be America's partner but a friend as well. But sometimes I have the impression that America does not need friends. We have the impression that America needs vassals to command. That's that's why they tell us and all the others, well, let's pinch and reproach them a bit, because Russians are not quite civilized. They are still wild. They have just jumped off a tree. This is why we must comb their hair a bit. They cannot do it themselves, and shave them and wash off their mud.
Is Putin from southern Russia? I'm just asking, because he seems to have a West Virginia accent. I'm just wondering if...
He's from the Appalachian region of Russia, Mark.
Stick to your preacher, you know.
You didn't... Wait a minute. Wait.
I don't know. I don't know about your Russian there.
You didn't like the wassels part?
You tried. You get one credit for trying.
Jesus, one star. Tough crowd.
Very tough crowd.
No, but I mean, give it to Junior to undo the one good thing his father did.
He's undone it, and frankly, this is it. I mean, I'm not crazy about the guy. I mean, you know, don't want to have dinner with him.
Putin's dangerous, let me tell you. He's
yes.
got a whole host of nuclear weapons. And he's taken his country from democracy right back to totalitarianism. And you know what? We can't invade Moscow. Thanks, George.
Not that, well, okay. You were going
to
say,
oh, he
John?
He wants to. No, he wants to. Trust me.
We John? John?
Yes.
You were going to say?
Well, just watching Putin and this interesting move where, you know, he's able to kind of nominate himself back into his old job again, is it's just another in a very creepy chain of events with it feeling like Russia's really turning the clock back.
And
because we're so distracted with the kind of, you know, put up game war on terror, we're not actually looking at, you know, and we're like poking and prodding Putin too, you know, with that whole missile defense thing, just kind of like poke. poke.
Yeah.
And
I got a missile shield. You know, I'm going to put it in Poland.
This guy ain't no Democrat. He's got a spine. He's going to stand up. You know,
vodka.
Yeah, I love the way you begin this. This guy's no Democrat.
Oh.
Mark, you and I started the war on Christmas thing earlier this evening.
Yes, we did.
The beginning...
I think we won the war. I think Christmas is defeated. There's Santa Claus lying dead in the road.
Yep,
ooh.
4 days left.
It's all red.
Yeah, 4 days... We got in under the deadline, Peter.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. But there was a crucial moment in the war on Christmas today with Bush's press conference. And I want to share this with you, because the American Family Association has got to be in stitches. They must be working overtime, because I haven't gotten their indignant action alert yet, because I don't think they know quite how to phrase it. But this is the very beginning, and I mean, this isn't a mock-up, this is no joke, this is the very beginning of Bush's press conference today. See if you can see what I'm getting about.
We wish you a happy holidays. I think recent days have been a moment that the country can be proud of. In the past few...
Did you get it?
No.
I don't think I...
Recent days is a moment the country can be proud of.
No. George Bush... wish the people happy holidays.
I didn't even catch it. It was so not a big deal, I didn't even catch it. Play it again for me.
Okay.
Do it again.
Here we go. I think.
I didn't even catch it.
All right, we're going.
We wish you a happy holidays.
Yes.
The
Now, what would Dr. Bach say, Mark? He's just atheized.
George has just dissed all of Christendom.
Well, he's atheized the holidays.
He's atheized the holiday. George Bush is Satan. He's Satan.
Oh, I so would like to play. I have that little recorder that I could just play that every time I hear this stuff from them.
Now, that being said, and sort of keeping in tune with there's some video aspects to this, but and I realize that's dancing about architecture, but this is something brilliant, and it's just hear it for what it is.
Mitt Romney, Mike Huckabee, and Tom Tancredo are all claiming the endorsement of Jesus Christ. So isn't it time to take a look at his record on the issues that matter most? Jesus' universal salvation plan has stolen the jobs from thousands of angels and raised violent crime in the kingdom of heaven by 33%. Jesus has been unwilling to account for his teenage years or to make any statements about the gay lifestyle. And that sends the wrong message to our kids.
That's the part where they put up the picture of Larry Craig. Jesus has been unwilling to talk about his teenage years.
No way! No way!
Okay, next up, the economy.
His violent clashes with the money changers means that lower corporate taxes that help our economy might not be the biggest priority for Jesus. And despite giving dozens of speeches on the Middle East, Jesus has refused to call the Islamofascists by name, and he's even suggested that we turn the other cheek. Jesus, if you're starting to think that he's too liberal for America, you've nailed it. This message brought to you by conservative Christians against the teachings of Christ.
Oh, Bob, I love that. I want
Christless.
Well, let's back up a minute, because we had some freeform horn section giggling there. Let's see.
That was me. I'm sorry.
No, it was everybody.
Me too.
I just had the foresight. I laugh every time I play this. I had the foresight to turn my microphone down this time, because the video, it puts up it, just like a Republican campaign ad. It puts up bullet points. War on.
Hey, Bob, this is video.
Yeah.
Let me play it. I'm gonna play it on my TV show Sunday.
Okay.
I will play it on my TV show Sunday for all of Northern Virginia and D.C.
I absolutely will. War on Terror.
And despite giving dozens of speeches on the Middle East, Jesus has refused to call the Islamofascists by name, and he's even suggested that we turn the other cheek. Jesus.
It's the little cuckoo that just slayed me. He's even suggested we turn the other cheek.
That is so beautiful, and I'm totally... It's perfect for my holiday show, because I'm doing one this Sunday. We're going over, sort of old clips and everything. That's just perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
And the heading, Stopped Executions.
Starting to think that he's
not much of a hunter.
America.
Tax and spend Messiah.
This message brought to you by conservative Christians.
And then finally...
Conservative Christians against Christ.
That we turn the other cheek. Jesus, if you're starting to think that he's too liberal for America, you've nailed it. This message brought to you by conservative Christians against the teachings of Christ.
Nailed it.
That is so beautiful.
Oh, yeah, and nailed it is a top-down shot of Jesus hanging on the cross.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh.
It's to die for. This must be emailed. This must be...
Where'd you get that?
I saw it a couple of days ago, but this is embedded at Andrew Sullivan.
All right. I can find it there.
TheAtlantic.com.
Okay.
I'll send you the link. But
that's beautiful. I'm going to play that.
It's perfect.
Video too. That's perfect.
Because it's an exact. It's a big bright light shown on the we tried to touch on it this evening, Mark. Big bright light shown on the dichotomy that exists between what they teach and what they vote.
Bob, exactly. And it's so about time. This is what they have done to us for years. They've made us laughingstock. This is right on time. In fact, it's years late.
Well, it builds on.
But it's great. It's great stuff. I mean, I've been arguing for years that, as of all of us, that if you look at the teachings of Jesus and you look at the people who claim to be following him, they ain't got nothing to do with each other.
Well, it's also
this,
reminiscent
this,
of
this says it just perfectly in a way that makes everybody laugh. a few people horrified. But what are they horrified by? Their own policies.
Right. And,
you know,
yeah,
what
the
are they
two,
gonna
yeah,
say?
The,
exactly. We picked on Jesus?
Yeah, the bullet point that shows up, not much of a hunter. You know, because you got to have your NRA card.
They shut down.
That is just so beautiful. Oh, do we know who did this? Because they
yeah, it says organically grown by Lee Stranahan.
Well, I want to give a big old kiss to Mickey.
Because I love the disclaimer at the end. Said something like paid for by conservative Christians against the teachings of Christ.
Yes.
yeah, John, that was priceless. It couldn't have ended any better.
Really?
This actually builds on something that Al Franken did a few years ago. I think in the Lying Liars book, there was a whole comic book section called Supply Side Jesus. And I know that's blasphemy. No, it's not. If it's blasphemy, it's only blasphemous against the hypocrites, and that's not a sin.
The irony is it's very true to Jesus' teaching. It's just a nice attack ad. Love it.
Let's see, I'm trying to. Yeah, here it is. The Gospel of Supply Side Jesus from Al Franken. Yeah, bring me this king of the Jews that I might meet him, this supply-side Jesus. Pontius Pilate summons our hero. So, you are this supply-side Jesus. What a magnificent robe you have. Because of this robe, 10 craftsmen were able to feed their families. The goldsmith who made the trim and the filigree was able to hire an apprentice because I paid him so handsomely. And what a beautiful haircut you have, Supply Side Jesus. The barber who gave me this haircut was able to hire a manicurist. She had been a prostitute, but because I needed a pedicure, she is now able to fulfill her true potential. Yes, the cuticles are absolutely perfect. There are those in Jerusalem who are not happy with your radical new teachings, Supply Side Jesus. Watch yourself. Shouldn't you feed the lepers, Supply Side Jesus? No, Thomas. That would just make them lazy.
Exactly.
Then shouldn't you at least heal them, Supply Side Jesus? No, James. Leprosy is a matter of personal responsibility.
That's right. If they had just practiced safe bodily functions.
If people knew I was healing lepers, there would be no incentive to avoid leprosy.
Exactly.
Supply Side Jesus, I think I've got a great line for your Sermon on the Mount. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven.
Oh, no.
For shame, Peter. That's class warfare. But
that's
that
right.
Does give me an idea. So he's up on the mount. It is easier for a rich man to enter heaven seated comfortably on the back of a camel than it is for a poor man to pass through the eye of a needle. If you are prosperous on earth, that means that God is rewarding your rugged individualism.
Amen.
If you are poor, it is a sign that God is frowning on your reliance on socialized handouts. The only way to gain entrance into God's kingdom of abundance is to show your faith by giving to him through his only son, me, Supply Side Jesus. My disciples will now pass among you.
Oh, me, that's so Ted Haggard, the whole damn business. I love it.
And he who gives more than 1,000 shekels will become a Supply Side Jesus pioneer and have access and have access to me at our annual Yom Kippur Break the Fast dinner. The word of the Lord.
Oh, that's stunning.
And
well read.
This very night, one of you will betray me to pay off a gambling debt. Supply Side Jesus was arrested that very night and brought before Pontius Pilate. Supply Side Jesus? The Pharisees are angry. They say you're cutting into their action. That's the marketplace of ideas, Pilate. But your ideas are misleading, and you're making the poor even poorer. What do you say to that, Supply Side Jesus? Pilate, average income is going up, and social mobility within the Roman Empire is greater than ever. Look at me. I came from the very humblest roots, and yet now I'm one of the richest men in all Judea. That's because you're a huckster, supply side Jesus. I sentenced you to death by crucifixion. It was Passover. It was Passover custom to release a condemned prisoner. Pilate decided to let the people choose supply side Jesus' fate. Who would you have me release? This man, supply side Jesus, who claims to be your king and insists you stand on your own 2 feet, or in the case of you lepers, on your good foot and stump? Or this man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who also claims to be your king and preaches a gospel of compassion and generosity and good works? Supply side Jesus throwing money to the crowd. 20 shekels for anybody who votes for me. Give us supply side Jesus. Crucifixion scene. Forgive them, Father. Supply side Jesus knew just what to do. Romans, tax cuts will double our revenues and ensure that the empire never declines or falls. And I will stop these environmentalists who claim that lead is poisoning our water system. And I will eliminate the theft from Mesopotamia, the threat from Mesopotamia once and for all by invading Iraq. It's just daggum true.
I mean, because it's true.
You know how they used to build walls around the city? Another touch would be to equate that to the wall of against Mexico. You know, the wall. I could see how he could, if that had occurred at the time. You know, it's marvelous.
It is, and it's just. Oh, by the way, anybody here who is there anybody here who's not already convinced that Tucker Carlson is a dick?
Oh, totally.
You have to ask. One, and John Stewart called him one to his face, actually.
Right. Yeah, well, that's
wonderful episode of Crossfire that will go down in history.
That's why I mention it. Well, he's decided he's mad at John Edwards this past Wednesday, yesterday.
Oh, no. Did John Edwards attack his corporation?
No. John Edwards spoke about the poor.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. Can't speak about the poor. Unless you eat them, they make a good delicacy. But other than that, no.
Delicious with sweet taters. This is from Crooks and Liars.
I'm not a crook.
Awful.
Softer message for the holidays.
Not all of them. You haven't seen the John Edwards ad, have you? A Merry Christmas? I don't think so, Stephanie. No. People are suffering.
We call this the Scrooge ad?
Yes, we call this the Scrooge ad. Okay. This is John Edwards wishing you a very guilty Christmas. Here it is.
One out of every four homeless people on our streets is a veteran. 37 million Americans live in poverty. Who speaks for them? We do. This is the season of miracles, of faith and love. So let us promise together, you will never be forgotten again. We see you, we hear you, and we will speak for you. In America, the chance to build a better life is a promise made to each of us. And the obligation to keep it rests with us all.
I'm John Edwards, and I approve this message.
Again, no Christmas. Oh, he is a secular preacher. He's a Bible thumper with no Bible, this John Edwards guy.
That's a great ad.
You think it is?
That's a great ad.
Boy, it depresses the hell out of me. I'm all for remembering the poor at Christmas, but that seems so political to me. One out of every four homeless is a veteran. What does that have to do with whether, isn't it enough to be homeless? They have to be a veteran, too? I mean, it's so relentlessly PC.
You ever just want to reach through the screen and grab somebody by the neck?
Oh, my God, we should not care for homeless veterans.
I mean, I'm all for remembering the homeless, but do they have to be veterans, too?
Yeah, it's wrong to point that out, because I'm speechless, and that's rare for me.
Peter?
Well, I was just saying, it invades their gated community. They do not want to know this. This is something they can't know. If you know this, it ruins everything.
Well, and I love the idea, I'm all for remembering them. Well,
just don't make them feel guilty at Christmas. You know, the thing is that the homeless, most people forget them every day of the year except Christmas and remember them only on Christmas and maybe Thanksgiving too. And now basically Tucker Carlson's saying that's too often.
Yeah, can't
once
we forget them all
year,
together?
We can't remember them that often. You're ruining my
Good
Christmas.
Point.
But wait, he's got a few seconds of being an absolute horse's ass left.
Kind of makes you want to throw up.
Or troublesome thing.
Kind of makes you want to throw up.
Yeah, well, instead of actually giving the poem.
John?
Yeah,
Sorry, is it the ad that's making Tucker feel guilty, or is it Tucker making Tucker feel guilty?
No, it's the ad, because Tucker goes through life blithely thinking that everything, you know, that everything is sunshine and violets. And of course it is, because, you know, we can't be talking about homeless Iraqi vets, because just like with Supply Side Jesus, if you do something for them, that disincentivizes them from being homeless Iraqi vets.
Boy, there's an awakening coming.
Is that some of them are homeless precisely because they suffer from wounds and post-traumatic stress syndrome. And, I mean, literally being around all that violence and war has made some of them crazy. And you can't blame
them,
right?
Precisely.
And so they're homeless precisely because we sent them to fight an impossible war that led to a lot of death. And
But he's still not done.
You want to get to the facts about homelessness?
No, I mean...
It has to do with mental illness and drug addiction. That's the fact.
And a lot of people...
That's right. Homeless Iraqi vets are all insane drug addicts.
Yep. Nothing to do with
brain
damage.
If I had to endure what they did in Iraq, I'd probably become an insane drug addict, too.
Nothing to do with the uranium.
This is the moral values party, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, these people are better than us.
If you do drugs, you have to take Oxycontin. Didn't Rush Limbaugh make that clear?
Well, yeah, and I mean, you've got to have a live-in maid and be able to send cigar boxes of cash out and come back with 30,000 hits of Oxy that you chew up like M&M's to get the refreshing burst of flavor. Oh, yeah, we got the memo.
Okay.
I bet you $10 she didn't clean anything. He had another maid. That was not his maid. She was simply a paid drug school.
That was his mule.
Right.
I think in the street term, that was his mule.
That would be the correct term.
Oh, guys. But, you know, these are the people who are in charge. And Tucker Carlson, you know, does Tucker Carlson leave the building there in D.C.? Because, I mean, you live there. It's not like there's a paucity of homeless people. You can see them.
Not at all. Not at all. They are all over the place, I assure you.
You know, to go back to the religious motif we've been working for the big part of the night, Tucker Carlson is the guy who walked past the wounded man on the road. He I can't touch him. He's an insane drug addict. You know what?
Exactly.
I reach into my pocket and I've had people looking. Don't give him money. He's only going to buy booze with it. Screw off.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And then you head right back to the least of these, and you've done it under me.
Yeah. You know, what business is it of yours if he buys booze or food or a pair of Gucci dadgum loafers? You know, you're the right winger. Doesn't he have freedom of choice? And I reached in and I pulled out another five and I said, get the good stuff. And he just looked at me and said, thanks, mister. You're the first one all day that hadn't told me what to do with the money.
Can you believe Tucker Carlson's father was the head of PBS at one time?
Really?
Yes.
What a betrayal.
He's also the head of the U.S. Information Agency. That's how you make it in right wing. You know, it's only, you know, Anderson Cooper's mother and Tucker Carlson's father, right? I mean, that's how you make it in the media. You got to have the right parents.
Oh, Lord God, Billy Bob, you know? Just